Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Want more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters? Visit hansonmclean.com/radio to get the Money Matters podcast. Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are with us today as we talk about the world of finance and retirement. Both myself and my co-host here, we're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, and chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays with people like yourself, being their financial advisors, and we come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air. So whether you've got an advisor now or advisors or you don't or you just want another opinion, we are the place to come to.
Yep. And just give us a call and ask your question and we'll do our best to give you a biased answer.
Yeah. And we love taking calls for a couple reasons. One, we people need the information. And we understand how challenging it could be to talk to a financial advisor, going to meet a financial advisor for the first time, or even trusting them. Our whole industry is
it's terrible.
There's some great ones, but there's some lousy ones.
Yes. And it's hard for the average consumer to tell.
Our industry does a bad job at being able to separate the good from the bad compared to other industries. Medical doctors.
Well, even
there's a few bad ones, but
even the regulations.
Well, the whole thing. Yeah. Anyway, so we love to be able to answer questions, but we also, we find from our listeners tell us that some of their favorite part of the program is the questions.
Well, the clients or people calling in and asking questions. And then oftentimes we answer a question differently than the question they were asking. And the reason is the way it works, you call in, you ask a question, we ask you some questions to try to better understand your situation. And then it leads into a conversation, most often leads to a conversation where we and the phone callers solve the problem together. And when I started this saying, we're going to give you our biased opinion, it's biased by our experience of working with thousands and thousands of people and hosting a radio show for over 20 years.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That is the bias.
Yeah, so Pat and I have been advisors with Hanson McLean.
By its very nature, though, Scott, every opinion is biased. There's no such thing as an unbiased opinion.
Then why are you bringing it up?
That's a good point. So, I'm biased. I'm biased about my bias.
All right.
So we've been hosting the show for 20 years, yeah, I'm starting to say.
And with Hanson McLean, what's interesting is oftentimes people come to us with a question because they think they've got some problem. Maybe problem's that's the correct word. It's a situation they're dealing
with. They're looking for a solution.
Yes. And oftentimes the issue is not the one they think they've got. It's something else entirely.
Yes.
And we find that not only on the program here, when people call in with questions, but we find that even more so with clients. I mean, we've got Hanson McLean. Our companies have over 10,000 individuals we work with. And we've had, I don't know how many different thousands have come through our offices meeting with our advisors over the years.
And we're still practicing advisors.
Ourselves.
We're not taking on new clients, but we have existing clients that we work with, which we think is extremely important to understand and stay involved in the financial planning process.
The two of us are still practicing advisors.
Yeah, which is unlike many, many, many radio hosts in our industry.
Are there that many radio hosts in our industry? I don't know. In any case.
Well, the ones I'm thinking of. Anyway, keep going.
So the point is, what I think is valuable about both calling this program and meeting with a quality advisor is oftentimes the issue that pops up that you see is sometimes just symptomatic of something else. And it might not be some, you know, festering problem per se, but a solution to a better path forward might lie in an area other than where you are, where your focus is.
Yes, just by having a conversation. So that's why you should call the show. And if you want to call the show, it's 888-2-HANSEN, 888-242-6766.
Yeah, I'd love to take your call on anything related to the world of finance. It might be your retirement or estate planning issues. How do you have things structured properly in case something happens to you, or when something happens to you? Maybe a better way to approach it. Might have to do with how do you save for your kids' college costs, or maybe you don't have enough money for their expenses. And here it is now. They're all excited to go to some school in the fall, and you're questioning if this is the right time or whatever.
Well, you know what? This college funding thing is a big, big deal. I spent some time with friends of mine that are two vice principals at high schools, two different high schools, and their opinion was there is nothing wrong with community college before a four-year college. Nothing.
There's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with a state school versus a UC in the state of California, or there's nothing wrong with community college, or even better, he said the idea that there's so much emphasis, their idea that there's so much emphasis on college and not trade schools
is
a ridiculous concept. And these are vice principals at high schools where they get measured by how many kids actually go on to college. He said the idea that trade school isn't really even promoted.
I'm going to share a story a little later in the program, but we've got some calls on the line. I want to get to them now. 1-888-2-HANSEN if you want to be part of the program. 1-888-2-HANSON. Let's start off with Paul. Paul, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, Scott. Enjoy your program always.
Well, thank you.
I really appreciated your comments about working through college.
Did you work through college, go to college?
Constantly. I was working as a painter in a macaroni factory. I worked in the summertime on construction on the roads in Minnesota. I've done just about everything, and was an ROTC cadet at the same time.
Oh, is that right?
Through 4 years of college.
My son is considering being an ROTC cadet.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, that's what. Anyway, how can we help you today?
Well, I'm turning 70 and a half in a few days here, and the requirement for minimum required distribution is coming up. And what I'm concerned about is what to do with this money. I don't have the real need for it right now, and my wife is going to be in the same boat here in about a year and a half. And, you know, we've got enough money. I work right now as an independent consultant after I retired from the military. And so I'm trying to figure out a smart way to invest this money in the IRA.
Now,
and I think the sooner the better.
If you are an independent consultant, are you self-employed there?
Yes.
So you actually have, how much do you have ballpark in your retirement plan?
In my IRA, I've got about $300K.
Okay. And how about your wife?
About the same.
And how much longer do you think you'll do some part-time consulting?
Till I'm not able to do it. I enjoy it a lot.
You know, it's interesting. We hear more and more from people at your stage in life that are continuing to work, doing some sort of work, because you enjoy it and you find engagement and purpose and meaning, some of those things. So here's a couple things you can think about. One thing you could do is you can set up, because you're self-employed, you can set up what's called a solo K, a 401K that only has one participant, really low cost, actually. And because it's I take that back. You're more than a 5% owner of a company. If this wasn't your company, you worked for somebody else, you could actually take your retirement plan, roll it into the company's 401K and delay distributions until you actually retired. And I start going down that path, and I realize that there's a provision that says if you're more than a 5% owner, it's not going to work for you. So forget about that. So you're kind of stuck with having the taxable distribution, and it's about roughly 4% or so. So there's going to be probably about 11 grand that's going to be taxable to you this year, whether you like it or not. Technically, you've got until April 1st next year to take your first distribution. If you waited until next year, though, you'd have to take two distributions next year. She'd be about 22 grand next year, so you probably don't want to do that. What a lot of people do in your situation is just simply set up an account at the whatever firm you've got your IRA, set up a brokerage account, and have that dollar amount just transferred over to that brokerage account and have the taxes paid along the way. So if, let's say it's $11,000 and maybe you get 25%, you figure it's going to go to taxes. You have the 25% automatically sent to the tax man, have the rest of the dollars go into your brokerage account and keep them invested that way. And you can actually continue a similar allocation you've got. What we typically recommend, though, is when you've got money that is outside of the retirement account, you want to pay attention to the taxation of that, right? So if we let's go out 10 years from now, maybe you're going to continue working as a consultant for the next 10 years. Sounds like you might, right? I mean, people are living longer and longer, and if you're enjoying it, and as long as you've got your health, so it could be many, many years. And as we start drawing down the IRA and building up investments on the outside, you want the most tax-efficient investments on the outside. And if your portfolio, let's say your portfolio has some portion of stocks and some portion of bonds, what I would recommend is have the most tax-efficient stock portion of your portfolio, have that portion being distributed, and have, so let's say it's $11,000 you have to take out, have that $11,000 in a brokerage account, but maybe have that invested in an S&P 500 index fund, for example. It's going to spin off very little in the way of taxable dividends and capital gain distributions, and then adjust your IRA such that, so you took that into consideration. So maybe have slightly less equities in your IRA.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. My IRA is basically based on a S&P 500 index fund as it is. Another thought.
100% of it is?
Well, a good bit of it, yes.
Wow. I mean, long term, that's probably going to give you the greatest results, but most people can't stomach the ups and downs of it.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always looked at the long haul. That tends to be, you know, if you look at historically, the stock market has done very well. And I'm not real interested, quite frankly, in adding to that. But here's another thought I wanted to run by you. We built a brand new house about 10 years ago, and we've got about 8 years left on the mortgage. And I was sort of thinking that throwing money against the principal.
Yes and no. Normally it would be like a no-brainer, absolutely do it. But considering you're 70 years old and you've owned stocks for a number of years and you've got confidence and you talk about the long term and you're thinking the long term, if we look long term, you're going to be better off probably owning the S&P 500 index fund than you are paying down that mortgage. Odds are. That's no guarantee, though. So if on the other hand, you say, well, if my consulting gig ends, and I use the phrase gig only because that's what kind of they're talking about. Part-time work, this is the gig economy. I mean gig in a good way. If you're thinking about, well, if my consulting ends, I'd like to get rid of that mortgage payment. If that's the case, then I do like the idea of taking your RMD and just throwing it against the mortgage. Because you're already paying tax on it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you like the idea of having your home paid off, then I say it's a great place to take it because you're stuck taking it out of your IRA. But you're really not stuck selling stocks. So if it turns out that you're going to take your required minimum distribution the latter part of this year, and it's a time when the market's off, you can still maintain your stock exposure. You're not necessarily forced to sell the stocks. You're just forced to get the securities outside of the IRA.
Yeah. Well, what I was hoping to do, you know, of course, is maintain liquidity. And if for some reason my health went south and I stopped doing consulting, then I wouldn't have to continue on with paying against the principal of the mortgage. And, you know, I could use that money to do whatever I needed to do with it. We normally keep around $20,000, you know, in liquid funds.
Well, then I'm a personal fan of having a home paid off in retirement. I think it just, for most people, it just takes some stress away. Most people, there's usually one in a marriage too, for married couples, that is pretty adamant about having it paid off. And my experience is I've never seen anyone upset that they paid their house off. No one's ever said, doggone it, Scott, I shouldn't have paid my house off. I should have kept that investment instead. If your goal is to die with as much money as possible, then maybe don't pay it off. Is your goal to have some financial peace? And then I like the concept of having the required minimum distributions come out and go apply it against the mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah, well, another thing that, you know, would be a concern about that is for, you know, tax purposes, I still have some, you know, money, the tax deduction.
Yeah, but the tax, the thing is, the tax deduction is so little these days as interest rates are so low. The tax deduction just becomes smaller and smaller. That's one of the things with the refinance. The refinance is good, but as the interest rates get lower, our tax deductions become less and less. So we're going to take a short break. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Are you a sports fan? Each year, teams spend the preseason getting ready for their big opening game. Well, retirement's a little like that. The difference is that instead of a yearly preseason, you spend your career getting your finances in shape for a retirement that could last 25 years or more. Think of Hanson McLean as the coach that gets you ready for your retirement season. For a free retirement readiness consultation, visit us at HansonMcLean.com today.
And let's continue on with some calls here at Hanson McLean's Money Matters. 1-888-2-HANSON to be part of the program. 1-888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Craig.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing, Craig?
Good. Got a quick question for you. I'm planning on retiring in about 12 to 15 years. And what I'm doing now is I'm trying to pay off my mortgage at an accelerated rate. I'm scheduled to pay off my mortgage in about 4 years.
Okay.
I met with a financial advisor a couple weeks ago who told me not to do that, to get a 30-year fixed mortgage, take the money I'm saving on the mortgage payment.
And let me guess, buy a life insurance policy.
No, but you're close. Go heavy on my 457, my 401k plans.
Okay. How old are you?
Hello?
How old are you?
I'm 55.
Oh. And you said you're going to retire when?
Well, I'm within 12 to 15 years. So.
And how much do you owe on the mortgage?
Right now it's about $200,000.
And how many years do you have with the state?
I have 4 years left on the mortgage to pay it off.
So do you work for the state of California or municipality?
I work for the state of California, so I do get CalPERS.
How many years do you have with the state?
18 years.
Are you a safety worker?
Well, I work for the state bar, so I'm an investigator.
So are you under their law enforcement pension plan, the 3 at 50? Or?
No, it's a 457 plan.
No, but your defined benefit pension plan, your monthly
right.
pension. Is it 2 at 50, 2% at 55, or is it 3 at 50?
It's 2.5 at 55.
Okay. All right. So, you know what? I kind of...
Is that what that is across the state now, 2.5?
It just depends on... Yeah. It's all over the board, but it goes between 2 and 3. So,
Are you contributing now to your 401k or 457?
Yes, I am. But I was told to max it out.
Well, how much are you contributing now?
It's about... $150 every paycheck. That's 26 paychecks. But I can go up to $400.
Oh, you can
every
go.
Paycheck.
You can go a lot more than that.
Well, I heard it's only $18,500.
No.
Because you're over 50. Number one. Number two, you can contribute to both the 401k and the 457.
Yeah. So you could
go $45,000 a year, roughly.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
So the numbers that if the advisor didn't, first of all, if you're the person you were getting the advice didn't.
How much do you have in savings now? 401k, IRAs?
It's about $130,000 in my 401k or my 457. My wife has the one with the 401k, and she's got about $70,000.
And what's your annual income, ballpark, your family?
Both of us are close to $200,000.
And you're going to be in the same house indefinitely? Is that the plan?
Yeah, that's the plan. Yeah, exactly.
So here's what I would do. What's the interest rate on the mortgage?
My current mortgage is 2.999.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And he told you to refinance it into a 30-year mortgage?
And a 30-year fixed.
Oh, are you in a fixed rate mortgage now?
Well, I'm in a fixed rate mortgage now, right now, yeah.
Well, how many years do you have left on the mortgage if you just made the regular payments?
I'm an accelerated payment.
I know, but if you made regular payments?
Regular payments would be, I would imagine, 7 years.
Okay.
You pay it off.
Got it. Got it. Don't refinance. Absolutely do not refinance. That interest rate is unbelievable. You'd be.
But it's only good for 7 years.
Right.
No, but amortize it over 7 years. And then push up the 457 and 401k contributions.
Yeah. So rather split the difference, I'm with Pat 100%. So if this rate's good for 7 years, instead of trying to accelerate it over 4 years, accelerate it over 7 years. And because you're how old again today?
55.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I would do is I would amortize it over 7 years, not 4 years. So if you go
the money you're saving.
Then push that into your 457 plan.
Actually, do about 50% more than that because you're going to get a tax break when you put the money in. So every $100 that you are not going towards the mortgage, I'd put $150 into your 457.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do it over 7 years.
I got to ask a question. I keep hearing the tapping in the back. Are you in like Santa's?
No, you know where I'm at? I'm at a bus station where I'm at the train.
Oh, God. Because I hear the tapping. Yeah. It sounds like Santa's workshop. People are building.
No.
Like, Santa's workshop.
I'm in LA. I'm in Los Angeles. Santa doesn't exist out here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
And you want to retire there?
Okay.
I grew up in Los Angeles.
Somewhere else.
Okay. Yeah, so here's what you want to do, Craig.
Are you serious about that, though? You said you want to retire somewhere else?
Well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, okay. All right. I'm just trying to set things up financially.
Here's what you want to do.
I love the idea of a home paid off.
Amortize it over 7 years. Make the payment so it's paid off in 7 years. Put as much as you possibly can into your 457 and or 401k.
Yep.
So you're not even close to the limits on your 401k or 457. Not even touching it.
Okay, because I do have, because they said that my 457 I can only go 18.5, but they also have over 50.
Catch up. Yeah,
yes, catch up, right.
And you can contribute both to your 457 and 401k at the same time.
Okay.
It's not right, one or the other. You can do both.
Okay, so I can do the 457 catch-up, add some more money there.
Yes.
Correct. And the 401k.
And you can do the 401k.
To the maximum as well. And use the catch-up there. So that isn't the problem. We could shelter a large portion of your income. That isn't the problem. The problem is how much does it make sense for you to shelter? So re-amortize that loan over 7 years, make those payments, take all that difference that you were prepaying and put it against your 457 plan. Do not.
Take the difference, multiply by 150%, so 50% more than that, because that's the kind of tax you're going to receive roughly 30 cents. Every dollar you put in, you're going to save 30 cents on taxes. So you take $100 you weren't putting against your mortgage principal, and you put that in your 401k, you're going to have a net extra cash in your pocket because of the tax savings. I don't want to see that extra cash go in your pocket. I want it to go back in your 401k.
Got it?
Gotcha.
And do not refinance that mortgage. That was terrible advice.
All right.
Just flat out terrible advice. But it was good advice that he didn't offer you life insurance. That is oftentimes what we're seeing now.
Actually, he did say, because we both have life insurance policies, and they're at $250,000 for both of us, or one, each of us. He said you want to max out on that up to $1 million.
And you have kids in the house?
Well, yeah, but they're pretty much grown. You know? My son's going to be leaving. He'll be in the military in a couple months. My daughter will probably be out in a couple years.
Okay, and you have term insurance.
Yes.
Okay. I would agree with that. I think that $750,000 to $1 million in term insurance wouldn't
really.
Be, okay. Yeah. It wouldn't. You know, a 5 year, 7 year level term. Scott, you're giving.
Yeah.
Me
no, I'm thinking the same thing because I'm thinking, what happens if you died today? What would be the resulting of your pension?
So
my wife. Well, okay. Yes, my wife would get the $250,000 as well as. And I'm only at maybe a third of my pension.
That's exactly right.
Correct.
Yeah.
So buy yourself and your wife
just some cheap term insurance.
Five, seven, 10 year level term, three quarters of $1 million to $1 million, and buy that. If you
you'll need less insurance as you get older. So even if it was a couple
That's
different
true.
Policies, just price it out whatever you can get the best thing. Just go online and get a cheap place.
Yep. All right.
Don't get it too late because you start going late in your late 60s and 70s, it's going to get expensive.
Right.
Actually, all in all, that the advisor, I would give him or her a solid B on the advice. That wasn't. It was truly. It wasn't.
And someone could make an argument why. Someone could truly make an argument But you want your home paid off by the time you retire, and you're 55 years old now.
See, that's the thing is, I want my. I mean, even if I were to go, let's say a 15-year fixed,
but
I could pay it off in 12 years if I increase the payments, which I'm doing now.
Yeah, but
and I turn that.
But Craig, the interest rate is sub 3%. The interest rate is sub 3%.
Yeah, you're not going to get that.
You're not going to get that. You're not even going to get close to that.
No,
and that's why you don't. That's why you want to do it over 7 years. All righty.
Gotcha. All right, Craig. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
We're just about out of time in this segment of our program, and it is, as always, great being here with you. And again, if you want to be part of the program, would like to call in with your question. 1-888-2-HANSEN is the number to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And numerically, it's 888-242-6766. We'll be right back with Hanson McLean.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Yeah, glad you are joining us as we talk about the world of finance. And we've got a blog on our website at hansonmclean.com. 4 ways to fund both college and retirement. And the reason we're talking a bit about, started off the last part of our last segment talking about college. I want to share a story, personal story here in a moment too. But it's just that time of year. And we see people sacrifice their retirement, which may be okay as long as you know what's going on.
And you understand the implications, right?
That you understand the implications and you can live with that. So there's a great blog on our website, hansonmclean.com. And we've got lots of different blogs that we write. We mentioned the ones that tend to have some of the most viewership, readership.
Yeah.
The ones that resonate with people, and that's why we'll bring them up. So there's a good one. They're all great.
Well, they're not all great. Some of them are okay. Okay. Some of them are just darn right bad.
I don't think we have too many bad ones. But
well, they pull them off after people, it doesn't resonate.
There we go. Yeah, fair enough.
So how it works is we trial stuff, we put it up there, and we look to see if... there's only so much real estate
It's almost unlimited. The internet.
The problem is that
look at all the fake news. There's room for that.
If you put,
I hit a nerve there.
A couple weeks ago, I used the word fake news in our programming, and
what happened?
I did some research, and I'm gonna quit using the word biased news.
What?
There's no such thing as fake news. When people refer to news as fake news, it's normally just biased or one-sided.
What if a story's made up? Remember a few weeks ago, there was that guy who pretended like he faked his own death in Ukraine. The Soviets killed him.
I guess I'm thinking
that was fake news.
I think in the political context when people call the opposing side fake news. And the news itself is real, that their view on it is biased.
But there's also made up stories.
There is absolutely made up. But
what if there was an article that came out tomorrow that said Scott Hanson?
Okay, there we go. All right, I'm gonna go. Okay, so back to this.
What was I talking about?
About college.
We got a great blog on 4 ways to fund both college and retirement. No, here's I've got a nephew. I'll leave him nameless right now.
Because you have like 30 nephews. So
I do have a lot of nieces and nephews. Yes, well, I've got one sister with 9 kids.
Yes.
Every 2 years, like clockwork. You know, it's funny because my mom would say in the early years, when she would call my mom and say, "Hey, mom, guess what? I'm pregnant." My mom would have tears of joy. "Oh, I'm going to have a granddaughter." And after several kids, she would cry. And my sister would call, "Hey, mom, guess what? I'm pregnant." She'd have tears of sorrow. "Not another one."
Just over the line.
A lot of kids to
take care of.
Anyway, so my point is, there's another nephew of mine, just graduated high school. And he doesn't have money for a university. So he's going to go to junior college. And he took up, you mentioned earlier in the program about trade school. He took up welding in high school, and he's good at it, mm-hmm. and he enjoys doing it. Okay. So I was talking to him because he seems to have some respect for me because I'm Uncle Scott, who's whatever. And I said, you know, maybe you ought to start a welding business. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you're gonna go to school, which I think your education's important. And instead of thinking about getting some job and going to work for some Fortune 500 company at a insurance, I said, you like welding, maybe start a little welding business.
Yeah, and dual track it. Maybe take a degree in business from a state school.
That's the,
and a welding. And then my son, my son works in commercial landscaping. He has a business degree.
Oh, your son's going to crush it.
Well, he'll be fine.
He will.
But Scott,
it's hilarious.
But you don't necessarily...
Pat's kid was like this born entrepreneur.
But you don't necessarily need the... You know, there's nothing wrong with a... some college is good, but a trade school for many, many people is... And my friend who was the high school vice principal said he thinks that it is a mistake to try to force everyone into college.
Yeah. We don't want to get too political on the program because we're starting to sound like we're a little political. I also have, real quickly though, I had another nephew who is a surfer. He lives in an area where he surfs all the time. He looks like a surfer too. If you looked at him, long hair and all that. Looks like Spicoli, except he lifts weight.
Okay.
A buff Spicoli is what he looks like. And
for the younger listeners, that's from the show, or the people in the booth, that's from the show Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Which really wasn't a good movie. I watched it several years ago.
I'm going to disagree with you there.
There was four minutes of entertainment, and the rest was actually pretty poor.
Okay. All right, so there's your review. I'm going to disagree with you there.
But if you're 50 and older, you know what I'm talking about.
How dare you?
Actually, if you're over 70,
the soundtrack from Fast Times at Ridgemont High was worth every minute of watching this show.
Fast Times at Ridgemont. Every time I'm Fast Times at Ridgemont High. We're supposed to be helping with their finances.
The old people.
Fast Time at Ridgemont High.
Okay, so what were you going to say? Your nephew.
He wanted to be an underwater welder.
Okay.
And his mom wanted him to go to college. And I remember saying... That sounds like a brilliant career for him. He loves the ocean.
Yeah.
What's wrong with being an underwater welder?
And so what did he end up doing?
He's in college.
Oh. There you go.
And miserable. I don't know. Maybe he's having a great time. Anyway, 1-888-2-HANSEN if you want to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Again, that's 1-888-2-HANSON. And let's go to Jim. Jim, you're with Hanson McLean.
Okay. Last week, the issue came up regarding a financial planner or a fiduciary. You recommend a fiduciary. Can you tell me what questions you need to ask a person to determine whether he is a fiduciary or not?
That is a great question. And there's two types of there's a number of different financial planners. There's fee-based financial planners.
Oh, you know, Jim, part of the challenge is anyone can call themselves a financial advisor. There's no regulatory rule that says you can't call yourself you can't call yourself a medical doctor unless you are a medical doctor. But you can call yourself a financial advisor regardless of what you are. So, Jim, you could go tomorrow and say, I'm a financial advisor because you decided you're a financial advisor. There are certified financial planners.
They're chartered financial consultants.
People that have designations.
But what you're looking for is a registered investment advisor.
So if you're looking, so I think Jim's question was, what are the questions to ask? So...
Yes.
Are you in the right now trying to find a financial advisor?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been in and out of different companies, and I just want to, you know, I haven't been real happy, frankly.
Yeah.
I just want to see what are their qualifications. I mean, do they have extra training, and are they involved with a bank, or are they involved with an insurance company?
Yep. So here's some basic things. First of all, I would want to find out what training and education do they have. Are they a certified financial planner or a chartered financial consultant? And the CFP, certified financial planner, is the biggie.
Do they have a degree? Do they have a degree from a college? Do they have a degree in business, economics, finance?
Those are important things. Have they been spending their career, etc.? But then you also want to ask, how are you compensated? Do you receive commissions from the sale of products in any way whatsoever? You get paid a commission from selling annuities, or you get paid commissions from selling life insurance, right? So finding out how they get paid. Now, you mentioned the word fiduciary. Fiduciary is where someone has a legal obligation to put their client's interest first. They have to put their client's interest above their own. It's a legal duty that they have. A fiduciary only
will only lie on a what someone's called a registered investment advisor. It's a classification of a regulatory organization, regulatory registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission, where a firm would have a legal duty, legal obligation to put their clients' interest above their own. So, our opinion, the best financial advisors, you might find a great financial advisor at a big brokerage firm or whatnot, but by and large, if you want somebody who is a fiduciary, is forced to put your interest first, who works on a fee basis, not a commission basis, someone who works with a registered investment advisor firm is going to be your best bet, in our opinion. And then from there, it's the other things, the certified financial planner. But you also want to do a background check to make to see if there's been any regulatory issues. As a prime example, we're based out of Sacramento, and here in Sacramento, I know two prominent financial advisors. By the way, neither one of them are certified financial planners, to the best of my no, neither one of them are certified financial planners. But they both do a lot of advertising, and they're out there, and I know of people that have used them. One filed bankruptcy during the financial crisis and then owed the IRS $400,000. Now, and he talks about a diversified portfolio to avoid the financial downturns. Now, if I'm going to hire a financial advisor, I don't think I want someone who can't manage their own finances, who went bankrupt, right? So that's something you could easily find out, but people don't take the time. Another person was banned from the industry for 5 years. It's like an attorney being disbarred or a medical doctor being losing their license for 5 years, disbarred for 5 years, yet somehow is back out there. People have entrusted their money. There's an easy way to find this out, this information. It's and there's an organization that has a way to check this. It's called Broker Check, like stockbroker, Broker Check. And if you, Jim, if you simply Google Broker Check, it'll take you right to it. And from there, you can enter it. Let's say you're going to talk to an advisor. Let's say you say, I'm going to talk to Scott Hansen. I hear him on the radio. I want to talk to Scott Hansen. I wonder if he's a good advisor. You can go to Broker Check and enter Scott Hansen right on there,
and
Scott Hanson, and it'll give you my full background. It'll tell you
education,
how long I've been in the industry,
there, what sort of complaints have been filed against.
Has there been complaints? Is there ever been a bankruptcy? Are there liens, et cetera? All that information is there. It legally has to be there. And unfortunately, Jim, so often people don't take the time to do that.
And it's a big deal because you cannot do a good deal with a bad person. It's impossible. It never happens. You cannot do a good deal with a bad person. So that's the first thing you want
to
look at.
It's almost better to do nothing than to get hooked up with the wrong person, obviously.
Well taken. But, exactly.
And that's what I've been doing. Okay, well, that's good. Broker Check. Very good.
Appreciate it.
Let's continue on with calls. 1-888-2-HANSEN to join the program. 1-888-242-6766 is the numeric way to reach Hanson McLean. Let's talk with Dan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. How you doing, Dan?
Well, I'm good. Well, I have a question in reference to my wife's IRA and Roth IRA and her pension. She just got severance from her job after 31 years. And we're kind of scared because now she's 58 and I'm 56, and we're in a place where we wasn't expecting to be so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I tell you, well, if it's any makes you feel any better, there's roughly, depending on which study, 48%, 51%, roughly half of us go into retirement earlier than we'd planned, either because of a health issue or a job change.
Or a family health issue.
Yeah.
So it's not unusual that you find yourself in this situation.
Probably a few years earlier than you'd have liked, is my guess, right?
Yes, definitely. Because she was going to go until she was, you know, another year and a half, until she's 59 and a half, to where she can start using her pension and retirement. But now we have to survive, you know, a year and a half on just my salary.
No, well, slow. That may not, in fact, be the case. So let's roll this out. So tell us about your financial situation. And then, because there are ways that she can get at her 401k and IRA prior to 59 and a half without paying penalties.
And the 401k, pretty easy.
Easy, easy on the 401k. So roll out your financial situation.
Okay. She has about a little over 500 in her 401. She has just over 100 in her pension from her work. And then she has a small Roth IRA of about 20.
And what do you have?
I just have my salary of 110. So
okay. And what was her income?
She was about 60.
And do you owe anyone any money?
We just have our credit cards and we lease our car. That's about it.
Is the house paid for?
No, actually, we just refinanced it because I'm redoing our kitchen.
Got it. And what's the value of the home?
The value of home actually just got appraised at 417.
And what do you owe on it?
290-something.
And when do you plan on retiring?
Well, I really like my job and my health isn't too bad. I don't want to work another 10 years.
And okay. Does she plan on going back into the workforce?
I really don't want her to, but she'll probably go stir crazy.
And how long is her severance for?
Well, she got almost a full year of severance package at one time.
Okay, and you said that $100,000 in the pension, that's a lump sum. That's not a stream of payments. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Well, cash balance plan, probably.
Yeah, we're going to try and roll it into her 401.
Okay, so let's just start with the basics, the rule. You can take money out of a 401k without penalty as long as you're over age 55 and you've separated from service. So
you can take money from that employer's retirement plans,
that
their 401k and that pension.
Correct, on both those.
Not so, an IRA, though.
Right, so there's the big distinction. If you're age 55 or older in the year in which you separate from service, that 401k has no penalties on it getting at those dollars. It you'll pay taxes on it, but most people think, as you may have by the question you asked, the rule is 59 and a half. It's only 59 and a half if it actually goes into an IRA. But as long as it's at the 401k, it's like having money in the bank. You can pull the money out. You're going to pay taxes on it. The plan may have some. What's that?
The Roth, isn't it post-tax? So
yeah, but we're not talking about the Roth. We're talking about her company 401k. There she is.
Okay.
She's got the $500,000 there.
And we're talking about why it doesn't matter if she's 58 or 59 and a half.
It doesn't matter. It makes okay. No difference whatsoever. So you don't have to wait until you're 59 and a half to take money out of that 401k at all. She could go in. Now, the plan may have restrictions that may allow her only to take it out once, twice, three times, four times a year. Every plan is a little bit different, but there's no restrictions on that.
So here's how I would view it, right? So here's she's probably freaked out, 31 years at a company, planning to work in a few more years, suddenly finds herself out of work, right? And she's thinking, oh, crud, yeah. I can't, if I was 59 and a half, at least I'd have some flexibility. You're saying, yeah, this is bad. I like my job. I make a good pay. I'm going to continue working another 10 years. Yeah, she's probably going to go back to work. She's going to go stir crazy. But at the time, right now, there's this uncertainty, this cloud's like, oh no, what if I don't get a job? What if I can't find a job I like? All those things, I'm sure, are going through her head. After 31 years with a company, it'd be very challenging. But rest assured, you have access to those 401k dollars and that pension dollar at any time.
At any time.
You don't have to wait to 59 and a half. As long as you don't take those dollars and roll them into an IRA, as long as they remain at the company, she could take money out of them today, next month, this fall, next January, and have the cash flow that way.
But so in terms of that, she's fine. And you have a year severance. So you're shell shocked right now.
Yeah, that's what this is.
That's what's happening. Basically it is.
Yeah, I get it. I feel for you.
What you really need to do is actually sit. You need to go through a financial planning process.
And see what
the long-term situation looks like. Right? That's what you need to do, that go through that process. Because right now, you know, she could go back. Let's say she went back to work and got another job that paid exactly the same amount of money that she's making now. In 3 years from now, if you both decided to leave the workforce, you'd be in the same situation. You'd be saying, do I have enough money to retire? And you may or you may not have enough money to retire. I don't know, right? You've done well. there's $600,000 in IRAs and 401ks and Roth IRAs. That's good. That's good. But you need to actually go through the those numbers on the 7 personal decision points. So if you go to our website,
that bubble of $1 million to retire on.
Let me tell you something. That is, I don't know where that $1 million came from. I have clients that couldn't in their whole lifetime retire on $1 million, and I have other clients that can retire nicely on $250,000. And if you met them, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference, right? Because oftentimes, you know, you look at people and it's big hat, no cattle. It's hard to tell, but it's not so much you have, it's what goes out. It's what goes out. It is the most important thing, is how much is going.
So we could withdraw from her monies to pay the credit cards down, even pay, you know, all the cars off to where we have no outlay.
Yes, but you could, it may or may not be the right thing because the tax is imposed on withdrawal.
Yeah, yes.
Because you'd be adding that in on top of her severance and your pay.
Right. So
maybe you do that in January.
Maybe you do it in January, depending upon whether she's gone back to the workplace or not. I don't know if I would do it now, especially if the severance was paid out in a lump sum.
I think probably the shell shock, it's just like, here's the severance. And when you get a severance, you end up getting taxed pretty heavily on it because they withhold heavily on it. So you end up with, like, it doesn't really feel like a year's worth pay, right? And there it sits and thinking, well, this will be fine for a few months, but what happens then? What happens next January and February? And what happens next year? And what if I can't ever get a job that I enjoy and my retirement's gotten? All those sort of things. So I would agree with Pat. I really think sitting down with a financial advisor and putting together a good retirement plan would make some sense for you. We also, on our website, we've got an emergency retirement guide. It's a tutorial, some sort of online guide that you can download, and it kind of walks through some of these things. What happens if, boom, suddenly you find yourself retired? Because half of us...
The reason we created this tutorial retirement guide is because we've seen it.
We see it too often. It's common.
And most people are fine, by the way.
And I wish your wife were on the line and could hear her conversation, because my guess is that she's stressed right now. And
She's losing sleep over it, guys.
Yeah.
After 31 years.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, but you know what? She may not need to lose
I don't think
any
she does.
Sleep.
No,
I
mean, she doesn't.
She may not ever have to go back to work. You guys might be just fine, right? But
maybe she can afford to get a job that pays half what she made before.
Yeah, and maybe. But what we don't want to do is start doing knee jerk reactions like taking money out of a 401k in order to pay down a car and some credit card debt, and find ourselves in a higher tax bracket because of what we did. That isn't the way we want to address that. What we want to do is take a comprehensive approach. So go to HanselMacLean.com and download the Emergency Retirement Guide. And then you might want to watch the 7 Personal Decision Points video.
I really think it'd be helpful. Obviously, we are biased about our advisors. We think we've got a team of great advisors. But, I really think a qualified financial advisor to sit down and go through these numbers, I think it would help you, and particularly your wife, tremendously, just going through the process and seeing what the options are. Because right now, she's probably just thinking, if I don't find another job, and she probably wakes up, starts thinking about the worst. Next thing you know, you're evicted from the house. What happens if Dan gets sick and he loses his job too? And now next thing you know, now we're going to be in a tent down at Discovery Park.
I don't think she brought it that far, though, Scott.
I'm in construction, so I mean we do know how volatile that can be, but I'm pretty sure in my job it's just if something happens come up in a couple of dinner talks, what happens if?
Well, that's
what you go through download the retirement guide, emergency retirement
guide.
Go
visit a retirement. And glad you called, Dan. So appreciate the call. And you know, Pat, maybe I was taking things to extreme, but
it happens
sometimes in the middle of the night. You know, that's when people tend to get stressed a lot, and you kind of start thinking about the worst. And when there's financial insecurity, something like this, and one of the reasons we encourage people to come to one of our workshops on retirement transition, we encourage people to meet with an advisor before retirement, is to be in a position so that if this happens to you,
yes,
you're ready for it.
Yes. Yeah. So. It's not uncommon for people to come to our workshops 2, 3, 4 times, meet with an advisor, and not become a client for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the idea is to be prepared.
We've got, this show almost, just goes so quick, doesn't
almost
it?
Almost out of time.
Really amazing how quickly this program goes. When we have fun doing it, I guess we do have fun doing it. But want to remind people of our website. And the reason we like to bring up our website a lot is because
we believe in that a good investor is an educated investor.
Yes. No question about it.
That is the premise. And we believe that the more educated, we have clients that are very, very involved in managing their portfolios and in the financial planning process, and others that delegate 100% to us. And we're good with either.
That's right.
We're good with either.
The more someone is educated up front, even if you want to delegate 100% to a financial advisor, that's fine. But it's important for you to have some basic understanding of things. And we tend to cut through all the clutter out there, and you're going to get our opinion on things. So we've got a great learning library at HansonMcLean.com. And there's one great guide on it's how to select a financial advisor. And so if you're looking for an advisor, we'd recommend going to our learning library and checking that out. We're out of time. Join us next week. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.
What matters most to you? Probably family and friends, but what else? When you're in your 20s, it's one thing. Your 30s and 40s, another. When your 50s creep in, you're older and wiser, but the sand in the hourglass of your asset accumulation stage has shifted. Right now, you're listening to Scott Hanson and Pat McLean. Sure, they've been hosting Money Matters for 20 years, but they've been CEOs of Hanson McLean Advisors for longer than that. If you're over 50 and you've been saving for retirement, you're probably wondering how your preparation stacks up. Here's what you should do. Go to HansonMcLean.com and either schedule a free consultation with one of our credentialed advisors, or if you're not quite ready for that, maybe take a look at some of the helpful materials in our learning library. You'll see tutorials, podcasts, and articles on things like Social Security, retirement planning, investments, and a whole slew of other things that can help you retire well. Over 50 and starting to see retirement up ahead? Make sure you do it right. We can help. Go to HansonMcLean.com today.